Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is December 30th. I can't figure it out either. for at least one more day. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. Also with me, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
The penultimate show of the year.
Indeed.
Right? Is this the penultimate? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very exciting. Good to be here, Kelly. Thanks for having us.
So, Dave, I'd like to start with you and just kind of, we're sort of looking back over the year, such as it is, and I just kind of wanted to get some thoughts from you all on that.
Yeah, well, I have lots of thoughts about 2020, as I'm sure we all do, but I will leave.
Yeah.
I will focus things down to that which is related to what we do here and the tech and Apple stuff. This was a big year for tech, especially for the tech that I use, right?
Like, yes,
many years. Yeah. Apple's always doing things each year, but. This is the first time in a long time that there's been lots of tech that really meant a lot to me. It was really hard to order which was at the top, although predictably it's going to be M1 Max for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a huge fundamental change for Apple. It also turns out to be a huge fundamental change for users, right?
Like, yes.
The speed benefits of these things were seen immediately. I mean, it's crazy. I have an 8-core iMac, 2019 i9 iMac up in the studio. And when my MacBook Air that I paid $1,200 for arrived, it became the fastest computer I own.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. That's interesting. Right? Like, that's really interesting. So, and it doesn't have any fans and, you know, all the things that we know about it. So that definitely has to sit at the top of the list. I'm quite eager to see where that goes in the future, but we're talking about 2020. So the M1 Max stand on their own and there might be more. So yeah, for sure. The second on my list though, it was a toss up, and I'm sure along with me, our listeners are getting an echo from one of you. So I'm not sure if that there's a mute that should be ridden, but
I'm not hearing it.
So it's probably you.
Then it must be you. Cause I can hear it too. Okay.
Yep, there it is. So Brian will mute when he's not talking. And hey, look, the echo went away. Perfect. Thank you. It really was a toss-up between the 12 mini because of its size, mm-hmm. and its 5G capabilities, right? I'm glad to see Apple serving this market. It's fascinating to me, too. And of course, you know, the plural of anecdote is not data, as Kelly teaches me and all of us all the time. But my Twitter feed, interestingly, is full of lots of like 6-foot-tall plus men like me that really went gaga over this iPhone 12 mini. And I think it's because it is a phone that I can fully use with one hand.
Yes.
Yes, my pockets can fit the biggest iPhone that is made, and I live with pocket privilege, and I'm aware of that. But my pockets can fit two of these. Not that I need it.
Thanks, Dave. Way to rub that
You're
in.
You're welcome. Yeah, sure.
I want to point out that this was also mentioned last night on Mac Voices Live when we were sort of talking about year in review and all the stuff that came out this year. And that was the thing that my friend Brittany said. Hi, Brittany. Was that she was really excited to get back to a phone that she could use in one hand because she uses her phone more than anyone should. Like, and that's her own admission on mine. But like, that's where the bulk of her work is happening for a lot of the time. And so having a one-handed phone again, like, was revolutionary. So.
Yeah, that's really what it came down to for me. And you know, screen size is certainly big enough, and the screen on that with the OLED and all that stuff is great.
Yeah.
5G is great. Like, I feel like I'm living in the future. So I think that one, well, my second one is the iPad Air 2020, right? Because now we've got this iPad that's basically an iPad Pro, but it's the Air, right? And it's interesting that I'm sitting here listing three pieces of hardware that are ostensibly at the bottom end of the price range of their product lines. I can't say that the M1 MacBook Air is a low-end machine, because it's not currently, though I look forward to a future where that is the low end. Again, yes. This Don't is 2020, all. Right? But yeah. But I guess the 12 mini has to sit above the iPad Air on my list because I have not bought the 2020 iPad Air yet.
Okay.
But it I know what my next iPad will be, right?
Really? And, okay. And
Yeah. So
what if the Pro of probably early 2021 blows it away?
What would it blow away? Like, that's the question. Yeah, I'm not.
There's no way Apple is going to have obviated its own more expensive Pro line.
And yet I have a MacBook Air that is much faster than anything ever called a MacBook Pro. Right. So. I also don't need an iPad Pro.
Right.
The iPad Air is great for me. And with that performance and the Apple Pencil and all of that stuff, it's like, yeah, okay, it's all right there and it's in the right price. Yeah. So, Brian, from a strictly technical, testosterone, like, standpoint, I'm sure the new iPad Pro will blow away the iPad Air, but that it's for me, right?
But like, actual usable piece of technology, the iPad Air did get way more compelling this year.
Yeah, for sure.
My pick, the one that I was considering the most was the regular iPad, because the gap between the iPad and the Air is a lot less than it used to be. There's a reasonable amount of power in that machine. There's a reasonable amount of storage in that machine. You can finally get into an iPad for $350, and the storage is a little low on the $350 model. Like, the entry level, I think, is still smaller than I would like. But the thing about the regular iPad is that it doesn't feel like the neglected model of the iPad series anymore. It's a lot more reasonable, because I used to have to tell people, like, if you really want something, you're going to need a Pro or you're going to need an Air in order to get enough horsepower that I know you're not going to buy another one for 5 or 6 years. And in order to last that long, you need to buy a higher end one than what the regular iPad is. And I don't have to say that anymore. And that's really nice. So.
Right. Yeah.
That's one of the things I've thought about a lot this year, is the change there in just the gap between the iPad and the next models up. So
for sure. Yeah, no, it like everything saw a sort of a cleanup and an update, right? Mm-hmm. And I like that from a hardware standpoint. Yeah. From a software standpoint, I will throw all the way back to pre-pandemic 2020.
Those 20 minutes were awesome, weren't they?
Well, Neil Peart died at the beginning of the year, so we can't really say awesome. And this was after that. But
I also said 20 minutes.
Well,
it was like 20 minutes.
Thank you.
So yeah.
Yeah, fair. That's true. Yep. CES was great. Everything was good. Then I came home and all hell broke loose. The new Apple Maps began rolling out in 2020.
Yeah.
And I didn't pay much attention to it because I was a Waze user. Apple Maps had proved to me that it was not for me in any of the places I routinely drove. It was always bad. And then when I got my iPhone 12 Pro, which I had for 20 minutes before I moved to the 12 mini, I had to know, mind you, I had to test both. So I could sit here and say with confidence that the 12 mini is my phone. It is. But when I moved to the iPhone 12 Pro, I decided, I'm not going to migrate over. I'm going to start from scratch. And then when I moved from the 12 Pro to the 12 mini, I did migrate that over, but it was like a 2 week old install. So, I felt okay about that. But what I didn't do was the point of migrating was to have only the apps on there that I needed and not all of the cruft that I, accumulate over time as I test different things. And so when I got in my car the first time, which I don't do as often as I probably used to, because, pandemicing and all that stuff, I was just like, well, I'll use Apple Maps. And I've been using Apple Maps now for months, and it's great. I did finally put Google Maps on my phone for the sole reason of having offline maps available to me. Apple Maps does not let me do that in any way that I can control. Google Maps is great for that. And I highly recommend that so that all of you, you know, if you happen to be out of a service area or whatever, you've got like some navigation abilities. But that's the only reason I have Google Maps on the phone.
Yeah.
It is, that part is useful. So there's your tangent.
And if you, you know, if you're a person, like whenever I go here, there's a dead space or whatever. And like, if I need navigation, you should, it's pretty easy to tell.
It's good to have, but Apple Maps has become my number one mapping, navigation app.
I have an interesting thing to say about maps, but I'm going to say it after I'm done here, because right now what I want to do is take a minute and tell you about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor this week is MacPaw Software, and MacPaw makes an app called Clean My Mac X, which is a cleaning and optimization utility for your Mac. It will kick off maintenance scripts for you. It can delete unnecessary temp files, and it does a lot more. You can keep your new Mac speedy, like the M1s that Dave and I are talking about. Or if you have an older machine, Clean My Mac X is happy to help you put some pep in its step. So Smart Scan is like the biggest feature, because it will look for old log files. It will look for cache files you don't need. It will look for malware on your machine, and it'll do a little bit of optimization for you, and that doesn't even take very long. You can get a good look at everything running on your Mac in a way nicer way than what Activity Monitor will show you. And it's compatible with Big Sur, so if you've upgraded your machine, you can still use Clean My Mac X. Learn more about it and download Clean My Mac X free from macpaw.app/TDO. That's MACPAW.APP/TDO. macpaw.app/TDO will get you Clean My Mac X, and I'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. Now, here's an interesting thing that I noticed about maps is that, and it's sort of a small feature, but and got a lot less useful, obviously, in 2020. But in February of 2020, I took a trip, and part of my trip was I had to go to a bunch of places that I'd never been to in a city that I'd never visited before. And one of the nice things about looking up the address in maps was that it would show you like a street view, and it would show you the front of the building. So that when you got there, you knew which one was the one you were looking for. And when you're looking for a bunch of office buildings in a metropolitan area, they're not always great about having the number on the outside. Like, this one is the one you want. So that was a very small change that I noticed that was really great when I was headed places. And also the watch integration, for people who haven't tried it, using Apple Maps and then having it send the directions to your watch so that you can just walk around, because the taps are different if you need to go a different direction. Like, left is different tapping on your wrist than right is. So like, even in the car, when I have occasionally used Apple Maps actual navigation in the car, it's been super helpful because I don't have to look at the screen for anything, and that's great.
Yeah, you reminded me of a thing that has changed with watch and maps. Well, it used to be that if I had CarPlay on and I was driving using Apple Maps and my watch was on my wrist, my car would be telling me turn here, and my watch would be, you know, tapping me on the wrist, and it was this this flurry of sensory input to tell me to do a thing that I probably could just see on the screen and already knew how to do anyway, but I certainly didn't need all of the notifications happening simultaneously while I'm piloting a, you know, very, very heavy weapon in the form of a car.
Yes.
And so, yeah. And so the new Apple Maps, you can set when your wrist is tapped and when it is not tapped and all of those things. So now in the car, it's if it's doing CarPlay, it knows don't mess with my wrist. If CarPlay happens to stop working, which of course sometimes it does, because, you know, CarPlay, then my wrist starts to tap and it's like, oh, hey, look, I'm getting the notification I want. But it's and you can have it give them to you when you're walking and not when you're driving or biking or, you know, whatever you want. Like, it's way more customizable, and that made a huge difference in terms of adopting it as my primary thing too. On the software front, you know, Logic Pro saw a huge update earlier this year, and that's another one of those things that I think Apple deserves some credit for. I think it's seen 30 something updates since anyone had to last pay for it.
Wow. And, okay.
Yeah. And it's way cheaper than it was when we used to have to pay for it. Like, it's only $300 now instead of, or $200, I think. But, you know, down from 1,000. So,
yeah.
So, you know, Logic Pro is another one of those things that just, that Apple just does. Mm-hmm. And it's $200. Yeah. So, and if you're a student,
actually abandoned.
Go ahead, Brian.
It hasn't abandoned.
Correct.
That's true.
Because there are things that Apple does that Apple abandons, and Logic has thankfully not been one of those things.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a first class citizen there at Apple for sure. You know, we don't hear about it in the main press announcements all the time because it's not for most consumers. It's not even for most professionals, right?
Right.
But for the people that use it, it is very much treated as a first class citizen by Apple. It routinely sees updates, and this year saw a huge one with lots of the kind of those live tools that you can do, and the new sampler that's in there makes things so much easier to just pull sounds in and adapt them to what you're doing. It's a fantastic piece of software, and Apple spends a lot of time making sure it stays fantastic and gets even better. So yeah, of course it works on M1 too, which is cool. So yeah, it's fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey,
Are you ready for my top one?
I am.
Yeah, go.
The rise of crypto, and I don't actually mean the price, but 2020 has seen cryptocurrencies take on some much needed improvements and advancements, and including some much needed regulation, which annoys some crypto people, but is needed for mainstream adoption. The presence of the emergence of cryptos like Polkadot and Chainlink, which all seek to solve some logistical problems, some changes that are going on with Ethereum, some the emergence of Cardano, one of my favorite cryptos. It's been overshadowed by COVID, but there's a lot happening in the world of cryptocurrency, and 2020 has been, I think, easily the most important year for this technology.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's moved into the mainstream
It's moving into the mainstream.
There you go. Making more progress. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know how much time we have left, but there were two few things that Apple did that I wanted to throw out there.
Yeah.
One was Phil Schiller was made into an Apple fellow. That warmed the cockles of my heart far more than it probably did most people. But, you know, for someone who's been watching Apple as long as we have, you know, remembering Phil as sort of the straight man in all of the bake-offs with Steve Jobs and all of that stuff. I mean, those guys were buddy-buddy before we ever knew Tim Cook's name.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Steve's not with us anymore. One would presume that Steve would be made into an Apple fellow where he's still around at some point. But to see Phil get that distinction as he, you know, moves into a livelihood that presumably doesn't include working quite as much at Apple. I'm not convinced he's spending less time there right now, but we shall see.
Same. Yeah.
but that distinction means a lot. I'm sure to him, but it also meant something to me. So that was sort of a feel good moment. And then of course, Ted Lasso gave us all the feel good moments, and thank goodness for that, because we needed him. So
yeah. That's
one of my picks, for the year from Apple, as far as like I thought the iPad Air, the iPad Air was a really great update. I thought the regular iPad got a really nice update. The M1 stuff is great. But like, if you want the thing that probably made the most difference to me in practical terms in 2020, it was Ted Lasso. Like, there's no getting around it. It was just, you know, aloe vera on my sunburned soul. And it was really, really nice. And we've been sort of watching it again, an episode kind of here and there as we've had time. And it's fun to rewatch too. So that's been nice. So yeah. I would recommend Ted Lasso, especially because if you got anything interesting for Christmas, you probably got a few months of TV Plus free. Or you may have a year. I don't know if they're still doing that with new hardware. But if you got some Apple gear for Christmas, you probably have some Apple TV Plus time that you can use. And I would recommend starting with Ted Lasso. And wherever you go from there is up to you. But definitely watch Ted Lasso. It's got a lot of appeal. And don't let people tell you that it's a sports show and let that put you off. Because it's only there are sports that happen in it. It's not about sports ball. So you don't have to worry about that part. Anyway. So, yeah. I would say that's another great pick, is Ted Lasso. I think we all agree on that one. that Ping, Puffy, Heart, Ted Lasso. So yeah, we'll go with that. That's going to do it for us today. Thank you both for being here. Dave, thanks so much for coming by.
My pleasure. Yeah, it's fun to go through all this stuff. It was fun to prep for this too, and like, you know, process the year. Yeah. So
it was a lot of stuff. I was looking through press releases last night to get some ideas of like, what did Apple do this year? And Apple did a whole lot of things this year. So yeah, it was interesting. Brian, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having us, Kelly. Definitely good to be here.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.